So, I was going to ask you, prior to the time of the divorce in 1935, separating from your husband, in your marriage with him, was there, how were decisions made?
He made all the decisions. That was one of the problems. I mean, he's English, and they're...
And around, say, the budgeting and things, did you ever do any of that household budgeting, or did he?
Well, in those days, I never worked on a budget until I built my first house in 1953, and I still have the same budget. I worked very, very strictly on a budget, but until that time, I just took the money and spent it and whatever. There was no problem of money as far, well, I mean, we didn't live lavishly or anything, but we did live well, and there was no problem of any thought of a budget. But we didn't go to Europe or anything like that. That wasn't thought of in those days. I don't know. It's changed so much.
Since he was, at that time you weren't working, right?
No,
so
no.
If you needed money for food or for shopping and things, you
I'd just get it. I don't remember how, but it was there. It was no problem.
Yeah, right.
I don't even think we had a checking account. I'm sure we didn't.
So what kind of things made you decide to separate?
Our backgrounds were too entirely different. That, I mean, really and truly, they were just entirely different. And it, we didn't believe in the same things, or it was, we just, I don't know, it just didn't work out.
What kind of background was he from?
Well, he was born in England, and his mother was a psychoanalyst. And when she was out here, for a while she was a state psychoanalyst. And Sid Grauman and, well, I don't know how many people that I've met in her place where they wouldn't do anything or go anywhere without consulting her. It was this kind of thing. John Carradine, the father, you know, he was, I've met him, and he was at her house. At that time, he was a hungry young man wanting to do Shakespeare, and she used to feed him and give him advice and bolster them, you know what I mean. And it was far too sophisticated for me, and I thought it was a lot of hogwash. Besides, I couldn't abide the people that were in the house. You know, and they were mostly theatrical people, and they're, believe me, they're a different world than I came from, and I just didn't care for them. We just, he could handle it all right. As a matter of fact, one time John Carradine was there, and he and his foster brother started laughing so hard at the Shakespeare that he was doing that it was quite... very bad. But we just came from different backgrounds.
When you came back here, were you in much contact with his family, or?
Oh yes. Yes.
And was your own family still living here?
Oh yes. Yeah.
So was his mother much a part of your lives after you were married? Or?
Yes, as a matter of fact, after the divorce, I went down and stayed with her for a couple of months. And but then I came back up and stayed with my... Well, I've got a house by myself with two children. And that's where my grandmother came and stayed with me.
Oh, I see. Now, you were... You said, okay, it was 1935 when you separated, and were you divorced about the same time you were separating? Or?
Yes, yeah, right away, yeah.
Now, when you went to, you then went to his mother's house?
Well, just for a couple of months. I was just down there for a couple of months.
And then,
as a matter of fact, when I left, it was when Roland had to have his tonsils out, and that's when I came back and stayed, got the house and stayed with them, with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked after the children while I went to the school over there, the business college. And
What were your plans when you got divorced, and what were your ideas about?
Just to get a job, and other than working part-time for the attorney, it never did materialize.
I forgot to ask you your husband's name.
His name was Douglas.
And was that his?
No, Douglas Roche.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you kept...
I never remarried. Uh-huh. He made television sets. Ultimately, he was a simply marvelous businessman. He really was, and he had a company of it was television, sound, and missiles. There's three different phases of it.
Mm-hmm.
And am I getting ahead? Shall I tell about his part of it? He remarried again and had three children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the middle, around 1954, I think it was, they were sailing up at Morro Bay, and the boat was swamped, and he and his youngest boy were drowned, along with the captain's boy and another woman. And he was an extremely marvelous businessman. He was very good. So my son... worked for him. He had been working for him for about ever since he got out of. First, he worked for Listen, Water, and Golf, and then he worked for his father for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And I'm going to say, he wanted to be in the sound part of the business. And he wanted to be manager, so he was made manager of the sound section of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they wanted to sell out, and so he borrowed money from everywhere and bought the company, and it's Douglas Roche Communications.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he really struggled and worked hard with that, and finally... he and a fellow by the name of Bert Lonspaw merged because he had a comparable company of the same sort. And they are really going great guns. He's very, very prosperous now and doing just absolutely marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the biggest sound equipment companies in Los Angeles. He does work for Lockheed and Douglas and all of those people.
Mm-hmm.
They do... One of the things where he's made a tremendous amount of money are the consoles for the hospital beds. You know, they have the whatever it is. I know when I was in the hospital, there was all these little things and buttons and pushes and this and that and everything else. And they're far more sophisticated now because, but that's what he's doing now.
Well, it sounds like then that even after the... after you were separated, that there was still contact?
He remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go down and spend Christmas Eve with them up until the time he died.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Not very friendly, but we were friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Now, you then were... did you receive any kind of support or anything from him?
Not too much, but enough so that I didn't have, I didn't have to get out and scratch or anything, too.
Uh-huh. Now, you went to Glendale Business College.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, how long were you there?
I don't know, about... I think I must have gone there about a year. Because I know I got my shorthand and typing up to top notch, and then I didn't use it except for this part-time work I did for the attorney.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long did you work for the attorney?
Off and on for about 3 or 4 years, I imagine. Mm-hmm.
That was only part-time?
Or? Yeah, just, mm-hmm. yeah.
What was the pay like for that?
Oh, I don't remember. It was when I'd do something, make a brief for him or do something, then he'd give it to me. There was nothing set because he was in this big group of people, friends that we used to go around with.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So he was someone that you'd known before?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The work that he had to
do.
Did you look for another job then?
Oh, this friend of mine, we constantly would go down to Los Angeles and have lunch and look for work haphazardly. I mean, we really didn't need it, so mm-hmm. we just looked for work, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were you just getting by on, what were you getting?
$85 a month.
Uh-huh. Now, is that with...
Sounds inconceivable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was just what Doug was...
That's, yes,
to,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And he... so that... He would give you $85 a month, and you lived and supported both me
yeah.
and
yeah.
Uh-huh. Were you renting a house then?
Yes, I was renting a house. I moved up to Pasadena,
mm-hmm.
up in the northern part, almost to Altadena, because Roland had asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought in a higher climate he would be better. Mm-hmm. And let's see, he was in the fifth grade when we left there. And but he still had asthma there. And what prompted me to move to Tujunga, because it was supposed to be, you know, a marvelous climate for asthmatic children. He was not supposed to, you know, I had told the teachers he can't participate in this, he can't participate in that, you know. And I went by the school one time, and all the kids were playing, he was sitting on a bench, and he was kind of scraping his foot, and I went home and cried, and that's when we moved up to Tujunga.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, in a matter of 2 or 3 years, he was fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the climate then?
Oh, evidently, because I think we caught it just in time. He was about 12 when we moved there, and the transition of getting into manhood or whatever, you know, they say that's mm-hmm. a good time to catch it, because he had a few attacks up there at the beginning, but afterwards he gradually worked out a bit all right.
Mm-hmm. And how long was it before you so you're saying that you and your friends sort of haphazardly went down to Los Angeles and looked for jobs.
Yeah.
How long was it before you actually returned to, say, working full time?
When I went to work at Lockheed in 1942.
Uh-huh. So between the time...
I went to work in our little local Five and Dime up in Tujunga.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I only worked there 2 weeks when I decided to go to work at Lockheed.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But other than that, except for working for the attorney.
No, and then when I moved to Tujunga, I didn't work for him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No.
What kind of place did you live in Tujunga?
I had a house.
Mm-hmm. Was it one you were renting?
Or? Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. How large was it?
It had one bedroom that Barbara and I shared, and then a porch out in front, and that was Roland's. That was his
mm-hmm.
place where he slept. And then it had the living room and dining area, kitchen and bath, and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
big yard, and then vacant lots all over the place. You know, the kids mm-hmm. they had a wonderful time up there.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see, by 41... or just before the war started, he was about high school.
Yeah, he was in high school. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Well, he graduated in. Wait a minute. In 46.
Right.
Yeah, he graduated in 46. Just 20 years after I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So about what year was it that you moved up there? Remember?
Yeah. 1939.
Yeah.
Yes, it was 1939 when we moved to Terhunga. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you were really only there about 3 years or so before the war started, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good starting place.
Oh, all right.
For today.